Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are still talking about what preachers must not do. We are drawing this from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, and then we'll follow it up with verse 15, which gives us the other side of the coin, which is what preachers must do. But first of all, what preachers must not do, verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And so we'll get back into that in just a moment. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, January 10. And special thanks to those special friends who've helped us financially. And I trust that you may feel inclined to do exactly the same. We are dependent upon the gifts of our radio listeners. What ministers must not do. Well, they must not forget the basics, as we've already seen several broadcasts ago. And furthermore, they must not allow themselves to become sidetracked with words that are not the Word of God. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. That is the kind of words that are human-sourced rather than Bible-sourced. Or the kind of words that are dependent upon very vague and questionable interpretations of the Word of God. Sometimes people get tangled up in the most petty arguments and want to fight down to the very last straw for their pet theory, their pet interpretation. Have I told you about the time 38 years ago now, when I was recently out of school looking for the place where God would have me to minister. Eventually I came here to Alamance County, North Carolina, and started a new church with a group of people who had requested that I come and help them do exactly that. But prior to that, I was asked to candidate at a church in a western state, and I flew out there and spent a week, two Sundays and the week in between, meeting with the church and getting to know the community and exploring a number of avenues, a number of matters, just so I could try to discern whether this was the place where the Lord would have me to minister. And I found out in this little town, I don't remember the population, but it was quite small, there were two Baptist churches that were virtually identical, and one was the split off the other one, and tracing the split back, and I don't remember how many years prior, but maybe 10 or 15 years prior to my arrival and investigating this church, the church had split over the question of who are the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. And in the original Baptist church, the minister took one position, and the teacher of the adult Sunday school class took the other position. And the two interpretations on that question are that the sons of God are either human beings, descendants of the line of Seth, or they are angels. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they married with them, and giants were born. So, were these sons of God angels that cohabited with human women, as bizarre and incredible as that sounds, or were they human beings that were of the godly line of Seth, as opposed to the ungodly line of Cain? That's the question. Well, I've got my own interpretation of this, my own position on this interpretation, which I'm not going to give you because this is not the time or the place. But can you imagine a church splitting over that question so that what you had in effect was the Sons of Seth Baptist Church and the Fallen Angels Baptist Church by the two positions that were taken? That sounds to me a great deal about like what Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. What was the profit there? To argue about this to such an extent that the congregation was divided and one group pulled out and started another church. And if I hadn't seen similar things, I would almost find that impossible to believe. But I've actually seen similar things closer to home. You don't have to fly out to a western state to see examples of that kind of thing. It's a shame, isn't it? That certainly is striving, the idea of arguing, striving about words to no profit. I've got my position on that text. But I'm certainly not going to argue about it, fight about it, be dogmatic about it. I could be wrong. I've got my interpretation. I've got my reasons. But striving about that, for goodness sakes, we're not talking about the virgin birth of Christ. We're not talking about the bodily resurrection of Christ. We're not talking about the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. We're not talking about the doctrine of Christ's atonement upon the cross of Calvary. We're not talking about anything that's essential to the gospel or essential to the Christian faith, but arguing over an obscure passage and two very commonly held interpretations. What's wrong with letting some in the congregation hold one interpretation and others in the congregation hold a different interpretation and let it go at that? You don't have to debate it endlessly. You don't have to argue about it interminably, and you certainly don't need to split about it. But that's the sort of thing that happens when preachers give themselves to these kinds of issues that Paul calls here words to no profit. And remember, he says, to the ruin of the hearers. That's certainly what happened out in that community to churches, and everybody, small town, everybody in town knew that these two churches were the result of a church split. They all knew it. That was great for the testimony of Christ in that town. I came to the conclusion that that town had very little prospect for a positive Christian witness. I did not feel at all inclined to accept the invitation to come and pastor that church. I thanked them for the opportunity, for the consideration, and said, I just don't feel this is where God wants me. I was not inclined at all to step into that kind of a mess. Can you blame me? So, avoiding words that are of human origin, stories, and politics, and man-made histories, and avoiding obscure interpretations of Scripture and wrangling over them, and fighting about things which are of no profit. In fact, they can lead to the ruin of their hearers. We are to concentrate upon teaching the Word of God and majoring on the majors and minoring on the minors. You would think that would be easy enough to remember and carry out, but somehow it can become exceedingly difficult at times. Majoring on the majors, on the major doctrines, don't back down on those. Don't compromise those. Don't apologize for those. Majoring on the majors, but minoring on the minors. There are going to be a number of things that godly, born-again, Bible-believing people are going to differ on. And it's not that we don't have any opinion on those. If we're serious students of God's Word, we will come to opinions on all these things. However, I have lived and ministered long enough to know that sometimes my opinion changes. Now, when that happens, and it doesn't happen easily, but when I become convinced over a period of time that my former position was not the right one, I had reasons for it at the time, but I have come to understand the Scriptures differently. I've come to understand the Scriptures more thoroughly, frankly. I understand them better than I did, and now I have stronger reasons to change positions, and I've done that on a number of things over the years, and I've had to stand before my church from time to time and say something like, people, I used to believe this. I used to say this. Some of you will remember when I taught this, but I have come to understand that differently now. And now this is what I understand the Bible to be saying about this issue. I have done that, not frequently, but I have done that occasionally over the years. And what that causes me to realize is it's possible that I may do that again. So, yes, I will hold my interpretations. I will give my reasons. But I'm certainly not going to fight over interpretations of Scripture, particularly of issues that are not fundamental doctrines. When it comes to the gospel, that's fundamental. When it comes to the person and work of Christ, which is another way of saying the gospel, that's fundamental. When it comes to the character of God, that's fundamental. When it comes to the inspiration and authority of Scripture, that's fundamental. There's some things that are so fundamental that we must debate them. We must argue about them. We must defend them. We must stand for them. We must be adamant about them. But there are a whole lot of things that really don't fit into that category. Again, not that we don't have a position and are willing to explain our position, to set it forth and to explain it, give people the reasons why, but not in a wrangling, fighting, argumentative, my way or the highway sort of manner. No. Do not strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. I personally believe that eschatology fits into this category, the study of last things. Some people are so dogmatic, absolutely dogmatic about their position. But folks, it is more complex than most people realize. And the most popular position in eschatology does not have, in my opinion, the most scripture to commend it and support it. Though there was a time years ago when I held that position too. But again, this is one of those things that as I have continued to study the Word of God, I have come to a different position. And I've also become much less dogmatic. I'll be happy to state my position and defend my position when appropriate, but I'm not going to wrangle about that. And I don't mind having people in our church who have differing positions. That's not fundamental. Life's too short. And Christian love and unity is too important than for us to be wrangling about things to no profit. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.